Quite a few out. I know Brother Albert and Judy are on the road, and I believe we've got a few others on the road as well. But I'm glad that you're here. Let me just remind you to keep praying for Joanne and Travis and these guys who are healing from their different things. But I'm glad that you're here this morning, and we're going to continue talking about the assurance of our salvation. And Brother Stacy handed out a little part two segment to what we had last week. Last week we looked at some of the wonderful things about assurance of salvation, that it was a certainty. And we looked at verses like verses that told us the words persuaded and keep. So I hope you still have your handout from last week. You can put it together with this one when we finish it. But before we get into this one, I wanted to visit with you about a few facts of our assurance, the assurance of our salvation. The first thing I want to share with you is the fact that how it is so wonderful. It is so wonderful. I was thinking about this week. I don't deserve all this. I don't deserve to have the assurance of salvation that I have. As we look through the facts of the assurance of our salvation, we can easily see that God's been very good to us. We don't deserve to get so many assurances that He has written our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He has assured us that we are His child. He has assured us that our sin is covered by His blood. And as a child of God, been saved a long time, I have the assurance that His blood sustains me from week to week. His blood keeps me in good standing with Him. Because let me tell you, I'd be messed up otherwise. And so that's the first thing. And the second thing that I noticed this week as I studied this lesson is how, if you look through these two, you know, how can I say this? Take your two handouts home about assurances of salvation and see how many hundreds of facts abound that we have that assurance of salvation. But yet, we in our minds make it hard. Don't we? Maybe it's something that we've fallen into in our sin. Maybe it's our doubt. Maybe because we're not in the Word of God, we get to where we're not comforted by the Scriptures anymore. We just make it hard. We make it hard, and yet really it's so easy. We are assured that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, that He's done all of this and taken care of it, and there's no way I can mess that up. Now, I can mess up having fellowship with Him, and I can mess up having fellowship with you. I shared a verse with the ladies this morning in the prayer room, and it just spoke to my heart, and I'm going to read it to you this morning. I wrote it out so I wouldn't have to look it up. 1 John chapter 1. Verses 6 and 7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, He's using the fact that if we walk in the light, and that's His light, as He walks in that light, you and I get along with each other. We have fellowship one with another. And so, you know, this is not hard to do. All we've got to do is keep our minds and our nose in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. I heard this week, heard a little fact. I've heard this before, but I'd forgotten all about it. It takes 56 muscles to frown. Did you know that? That's what they tell us. It takes 56 muscles to frown and only 13 to smile. But yet, a good portion of us, I'm at the top of this list, I walk around with a frown on my face. And so what I'm alluding to there is We see all these scriptures about the assurances of our salvation. They abound in scripture. We're just touching the tip of the iceberg these 2 weeks. All of that is out there. He's so free with his salvation. He's so free with being eternally secure. He's so free with being, with giving us abundance of supply of assurances in the scriptures. And yet we tend to forget all of that when we've done something. We need to remind ourselves continually by his word, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. So what we looked at last week was a lot of facts. We looked at what is meant by assurance. We looked at why do I need salvation. Assurances of salvation, it brings us joy, confidence, and comfort. And you can go through there, and if you need any help with filling those blanks out from last week, you let me know, because I've got a master up here and I can help you with that. And then we looked at the grounds for our assurance of salvation. First of all, God said it, and he's not a liar, right? Amen? That's the person of God. The second was he promised it all throughout his scriptures. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We call upon the name of the Lord. Guess what? We're saved. We've got that promise. And then we looked at the presence of God as giving us assurance. When we're saved, he resides in our heart. The Holy Spirit comes to live, and he gives us that assurance. He gives us that power to be a child of God, that right to be a child of God. And then the very last thing we looked at is how may I know I'm saved? On the back of last week's handout. I know I'm saved because I believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm saved because I have the Son. I know I'm saved because I have a love for God's people, for the brethren. I know I'm saved because I desire to keep God's commandments. I know I'm saved because I turn from the world and all its sin. I know I'm saved because I am overcoming the world. I know I'm saved because I have the witness of God's Spirit within me. I know I'm saved because my life is showing, evidencing good fruit. And lastly, I know I'm saved because I hear God's voice through the Word of God, and I desire to follow Him. And then we looked at that all very, 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 very important verse, that if those do not exist in your life, all of those things, if you don't love the brethren, if you don't keep his commandments, if you have no desire to follow him, if there's no fruit in your life, if there's no desire to listen to his voice and to read God's word, then we at least have to sit next to the Apostle Paul when he says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, which I was going to have pulled up when I got to this point, and I didn't. Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. He wants us to check it out. If we have no external evidence in our life that we're a child of God, if we don't have any love for the brethren, if we don't have any desire to get in the scriptures, if we don't have the power of the Spirit in our life, power of the Holy Spirit in our life, then Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. This is 2 Corinthians 13:5. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? And a reprobate was someone who got close to being saved. They might have even made a profession, but they fell away from actually committing their heart and their mind and themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to at least look at that. So that's all the facts. We've looked at the facts. Now, what can we do in our life to make the facts real in our lives? Linda, would you be so kind as to read that first paragraph? What brings assurance of salvation into my life? Oh, it's the page one on the first hand, the very first paragraph of the handout. So that first paragraph tells us that Satan started this a long time ago, spreading doubt in God's people's minds, and he'll do it today. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it." Now, we know we have all the facts that we've looked, that we're saved. God's got that sealed. He's got that nailed. But when we sin, he stands before God and accuses us. And he makes sure to try to bring doubt in our mind that we're actually not saved. And that's what he did in the garden. He says in Genesis 3:1, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" That's what he told Eve. He's questioning God. And he questions God in our minds as well. So here are some ways that you can get assurance or deepen your assurance in what God has done for you. That's what your handout and letter A on page number 1 says, learn the word of God. Your salvation is based upon what God has said, not upon how you think or how you feel. Thus, it is important for you to read and study the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And Paul's talking to Timothy here, "and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." We want to be more assured of our faith. If we want to be more secure in our faith, we need to learn the word of God. And then letter B says, thank God for his gift of salvation. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Well, when I'm given a gift, I need to say thank you. Don't you do that when somebody gives you a gift? Well, we need to thank God that we've received the gift of eternal life. You know, when I printed this, this is frustrating to me, Brother Stacy, because when I printed this, there was a space between those. You could actually, you know, the answer is eternal life. You got that. And there was a space between those two words. But when it printed, you can't even see that space. Good night. Now, either my computer's messed up or I'm messed up. I'm going to blame the computer. Okay? But we need to thank God for his gift of salvation. Letter C says, make a public testimony before others. Oh, this one's important. Have you told someone that you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at 1 John 4:15 and see the relationship between confessing Christ and having assurance. 1 John 4:15. Took the time to write that down here. I just got to find it in my notes here. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So there's a special blessing in us making a public profession of faith. Is there water in the baptistry? Yes, there is. We're going to see a baptism this morning. Somebody's making a public confession of their faith. If you know of someone who's never been baptized, then it's a good idea for them to start with that public confession of faith. And by that, you're making a public testimony before other people. Another example is Matthew 10:32. Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before him, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." How about the verses that we heard in our when we got saved? Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So when we're saved, we confess. And then after we're saved, we confess before others. We confess that we know him. We confess that we trust in him. And by that, we make a public testimony before others. Letter D on page 2 says, attend church meetings as much as possible. This is pretty important. This is pretty important. You remember what Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. When you're here, I'm encouraged. And when you're not here, I wonder where you are. We have a special ministry to each other. Well, we should. It's not all about Brother Chris serving and ministering to us. We minister to each other. And we have a special opportunity to do that for each other. Attend church as much as possible. Letter E says, live a righteous life. Sometimes a full assurance does not come until God sees we mean business with him. Let me read you Isaiah 32, verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. So there on page 2, you've got some blank lines. It says, according to Isaiah 32, verse 17, the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance. Assurance forever. So when I live a righteous life before him, he gives me a peace about it. You like peace, Beverly? I do too. We have something in common. When I live a righteous life, God's word gives me peace, and he gives me righteousness and assurance, quietness. Proverbs 10, verse 9 says, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. And your handout says, remember, your peace and assurance is based upon believing God's promises and not on your feelings. It's not how I feel. It's about what God says. It's not what kind of week I had. It's what God says in his word. So at the bottom of page 2, your handout says, what happens if I sin? Are we still saved then if we sin? Yeah. Yeah, we are. What happens if I sin? Look up 1 John 1:8. Is it possible for a Christian to sin? Let me read you that verse. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Do you think we sin? Yeah. Yeah, we sin. Look up 1 John 2, verse 1. That verse says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Oh, this is a sweet verse too. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Aren't you glad of that? That when we sin, we have an advocate. We have, you know, an advocate's a lawyer. A lawyer stands before a judge and he defends somebody who's done something, right? And Jesus is our lawyer. You know, we do something bad and we let something in our life that messes us up and makes us to fall before him, maybe cause a bad testimony before him. And God, the righteous judge, has every reason in the world to take that righteous gavel of his and say, guilty. But Jesus stands in our stead and he says, but he's one of yours. I've already paid his penalty. Isn't that great? That's an assurance we can have. What happens if we sin? Well, he stands before us. He's our advocate. Look up 1 John 1:9. If a Christian sins, what is the one thing we are to do about it? Anybody know? Confess it. Yeah. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants us to bring it before him. Say, Lord, I've done this again. I've messed up. I know, Lord, I've got no right to ask for this, but I ask for your forgiveness, and he gives it. So page number 3 starts up and says, look up. 1 John 2:1 again, when I sin, who appears before God the Father in heaven on my behalf? Jesus Christ the righteous. Then it says, look up 1 John 1:6-7. In your own words, what does a Christian lose if he sins? Let me read you those verses. If we say that we have fellowship with him, these are the ones that I read earlier. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. So in your own words, what does a Christian lose if he sins? There's really two good answers here. Well, we lose two things when we sin. The first is fellowship with each other. That's what that verse says. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We lose fellowship with each other, but more importantly, we lose fellowship with Christ. You know, we're still saved. We're still going to heaven. We're still a child of God. But we've put something there in our life whereby he can't bless us anymore until we confess that sin to him. We lose that fellowship with Christ. The next thing in your lesson says, can I ever lose my salvation? John 10:28. Let me read you that verse. And I give unto them eternal life. Let me ask you a question. How long is eternal? Forever. Great answer. John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Can the government take away my salvation? No. The next one says, so the answer there says, John 10:28 says, we shall never perish. Letter B, John 10:29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, able to remove us from God's hand. No man. Letter C, John 6:37. Says God will in no wise cast out those who come to Christ. Isn't that great news? John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You have a burden for somebody in your life? You want to share the gospel with somebody in your life? You've got the assurance that when you take the gospel to this person, and they confess before the Lord and they accept him as their personal Savior, they're accepted. That's what that verse says. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Letter D says, John 6:39 says, the responsibility of keeping us saved is the Lord's, not ours. I don't have that burden, neither do you. And that Christ can lose nothing. John 6:39 says, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, Jesus says, I should lose nothing. God the Father gave to Jesus Christ Beverly. And Jesus Christ cannot lose Beverly. Thank the Lord. And we could put our own names in that same sentence. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Christ can lose nothing because the Father has given to him us. His present to his Father. Letter E says, John 5:24 says, the kind of life I now have is everlasting or eternal. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Letter F, Romans 8:38 and 39. Let me read that verse to you. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, those two verses say that nothing can what? Separate us from the love of Christ. In letter G, 1 Peter 1:5, let me read you that verse. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So 1 Peter 1:5 says we are kept by the power of God. Jude 24 says this right here. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So Christ is able to keep us from falling. Philippians 1:6 says that Christ will continue, that verse says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Christ will continue his good work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. So back to the using the example of Beverly right there. When Christ saved Beverly, he started a work. And he'll complete that work someday. Just like Linda and Dwayne and everybody else. So page number 4 of your handout, the top, says Ephesians 1:13. That verse says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So Ephesians 1:13 says our salvation has been sealed with the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit sealed the transaction. We can't change it. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says our salvation is a gift of God. A gift taken back by the giver is no gift. That's pretty important. You know, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. He won't take it back if he gave it to us. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, and 1 John 3:10, before we're saved, we're in the control of Satan. Let me read you those verses. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We couldn't do anything else because we were controlled by Satan. But now that we're saved, it's what your handout says, now that we are saved, we have a new relationship with God. God is our heavenly Father. Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of a bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This transaction made us sons and daughters of God. He's our Father. God is our heavenly Father. Christians are the sons of God. He started a transaction of adoption and he sealed it. And nobody can reverse that. Your handout says, in our earthly family, when a child does wrong, his parents do not cast him out of the family and disown him. We want to sometimes, don't we? No, they will correct and chasten their son, but he's still their son and a member of that family. When a Christian sins, he's not cast out of God's family and losing his salvation, but however, like any loving father, God will scourge the erring Christian. You could put correct, you could put scourge, you could put chasten. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. There's a correction there sometimes in my life. God's given me his spirit, he's given me his power, and sometimes I don't take that and I don't use that in my life and I do something else and I allow myself to be controlled by some other spirit or some other power, and God's got to scourge me. He's got to correct me. He's got to chastise me and get that right. But I know that I'm saved, and we've got that assurance. That's what we've seen. That's why sometimes around here we sing that song. blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. That's something that we can take to the bank. I tell you, you can't take too many things in this life to the bank anymore, can you? My friends, if you repented of your sins, and if you trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, you are saved. You are saved. I hope if nothing else, you got that out of that. But take those handouts at home and read them when you need assurance, because God's Word gives plenty of assurance. Amen? Brother Stacy.